The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
It's Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Barry Bloom from Sportico talking about the Diamondbacks. He's in New York City with them. They wrap up their series today in New York and the stretch run here. A devastating loss, I thought, last night with Zach Gallen getting ripped up. We'll get into it with Barry Bloom. Also, the stadium. What's the latest? Where are they heading? The Diamondbacks front and center on today's show. Then Bleacher Talk will follow after. If you've not seen Bleacher Talk from our high school platform with Claudia Collins and Jordan Spurgeon, Bruce Cooper, Eliav Gabay, Marley Zaina Thompson, it's a cast of characters. I'm being kind. So that will come up after Barry Bloom. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. I was with Jeff Mishi yesterday over at Desert Financial Arena with Bobby Hurley. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. It's a big game for the Diamondbacks today. I'm going to start there because I know that football, I'll get into all the stuff with football. Both Roger Goodell and Adam Silver talking yesterday about their respective sports, the commissioner of the NFL, commissioner of the NBA. We'll get into that in a bit too. Last night, I think last night might have been the death blow. If you look back on all the games that this team lost with the bullpen, and you look back on their starting pitching when Merrill Kelly was out, and they're trying to figure it out, and they're just trying to piece it together, and the fact that they're even tied for the wild card is stunning. But you have to win your Zach Gallen starts. You know, you got to win your Zach Gallen starts. Today they're tied with three other teams for the final wild card spot in the National League. And Merrill Kelly is on the mound today. This is one of those games that you look at and say, you know, you got to win the Zachs and the Merrills here the next 2 weeks. Right there, each one of those will have 2 to 3 starts remaining. There's 14 games left. And if you're able to get to 8 wins, 9 wins of those 14, you probably have a shot. Well, I'm not going to count on Fott. I'm not going to count on Ryan Nelson. And I'm not going to count on Zach Davies. Not down the stretch. This is what we talked about back during the June, July, August. It's great to give these kids experience, but do you want them on the mound when it's nut cutting time? And it's nut cutting time. That's what it is. And so Zach last night, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, wasn't good. I don't know, was there something not in the gas tank after what happened in Chicago last Friday where he went the distance? Is this why Torrey does dial back starting pitching and they don't finish games out? Did it come back to bite them? Should Zach have gone 7-8? I don't know. You can't turn around and have revisionist history, but he just didn't have it yesterday. And, you know, it's September 13th yesterday. Those are games Zach Gallen's got to be the guy if he's a Cy Young Award candidate. That's it. End of conversation. And he is. Won a bunch of games, but, you know, when you have your ace on the hill and those are games you have to win in September and he doesn't perform well and he does it in New York with a large amount of media watching, they're going to find a way to say, yeah. So that's where I am on that front. Roger Goodell yesterday talked about how now there's this cry to go back to playing surfaces that are grass. And I was listening to his comments yesterday about, well, you know, this was something that was negotiated. So very lawyer speak early on, like, well, you know, this is where we are. This is how it is. And because of the Aaron Rodgers injury, it's been all brought back up about how all fields should be grass. He said that he's going to meet with FIFA. Always like how the NFL follows soccer and yet they, people that love the NFL will say, oh, no, soccer is not the greatest game ever. I don't know. It's worldwide. The NFL is not. It's still trying to figure it out. Not bashing on. It's just a fact. Don't tell me that it's the greatest sport ever. In this country, it's the most popular sport. Most popular. Doesn't mean it's the greatest. When you're starting to put turf fields down on high schools, which they are, that's happening right here. I was on a turf field last week. Chandler School District's wanting to turf all their fields. It's the biggest district in the state. I understand. I was at Campo Verde High School. I was walking out there and it was blazing hot. Turf field. Turf field's going to cause more injuries. I don't know. Is this overreaction to Aaron Rodgers? Is this just like, look, you're going to get hurt no matter what the surface is? The Super Bowl playing surface was grass and it wasn't good. And it was right here in our valley. Okay. So because it was Aaron Rodgers, you know, if it was a backup offensive tackle that went down, oh, that's too bad. Aaron Rodgers, oh, it's got to be the turf. Got to be the turf. And I am not one to subscribe to turf, but the commissioner immediately has to go on the offensive, immediately has to go on his partners. And they're going to sit there and nod their head and say, yes, Roger, that's right. Sign the check, please. Yes, Roger, that's great. You're so concerned about player safety. And I'm just like, okay. In terms of on the field, it's a good game tonight. I'm looking forward to watching Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia meet Minnesota. Viking fans have given up on Kirk Cousins. I'm not wrong on that. I'm not. Justin Jefferson not getting his contract. The Vikings are one of those teams that have a bunch of talent and a diehard fan base and loyal fan base. And guess what? They're going to die hard this year. You can see it. I expect Philadelphia to roll tonight. Cardinals game on Sunday. Joshua Dobbs talking about how he has had six more practices under him and how much more comfortable he feels and all that stuff. And Jonathan Gannon wants the crowd to be noisy. And what else are you going to say? It's two teams that are 0-1. One of those two teams is certainly not going to play in the postseason. I think you know which one I'm talking about. It's the home opener. Dallas will be here next week. It'll be a Cowboy convention. There'll be Giants fans all over the place for this weekend's game. They'll announce a sellout and there'll be empty seats. That's how it works. I'm more interested in the college weekend. So Arizona has UTEP, which on the surface, you're like, who cares? Well, I care, and that's why I do what I do on the college front. This game's interesting because, look, Jed Fish has to roll teams like Texas El Paso. After losing an SEC nail-biting, thrilling game, if you didn't watch it, you don't know. So you can hate on U of A all you want. If you're an ASU guy, that's your problem. That's your prerogative. But if you're watching the progress that's being made in Tucson, they should be 3-0. Their quarterback wasn't good last week. Jaden Delora was not good in any way, shape, or form. They end up losing a nail biter. I'll be interested to see if they bounce back, or is this just the same old Wildcats? And hey, we've got the red-blue scrimmage coming up in basketball, and let's just turn the page, and football's over by, what would it be, September 17th. Arizona State, on the other hand, they have Fresno State. Fresno State is a well-coached team that gets underplayed, underrated. They play hard. They play smart. Their quarterback went to Chandler High School, Mikey Keene, so there's a really cool local angle to it. Sometimes when you play a team, it's when you play that team. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes a team has a ton of injury. Sometimes a team has sickness. Sometimes a team has injury and sickness at the same time. And you have to play the game and you can't use it as an excuse. This may be one of those weeks. Maybe one of those weeks. Just about when a game falls on the schedule. It's not a great schedule this weekend of games. Like, I'm more interested, honestly, in Colorado State against Colorado than I am either U of A or ASU. Colorado State, little old Colorado State, going to go to Colorado. And you've got Dion and Colorado, the biggest story going. 60 Minutes is going to be at Colorado for the game on Saturday night. 60 Minutes. Yes, ESPN Game Day and Fox Big Day and other national media are all going to descend. It's over 700 credentials for Colorado State against Colorado. Great story. Not demeaning it at all. In 2 weeks, Colorado plays USC. Can you imagine? October 7th, Colorado comes to Arizona State. Can you imagine if this thing continues to roll or if it flames out? I'm getting these people that are angry that Ray Anderson and Michael Crow didn't hire Deion Sanders and instead they hired Kenny Dillingham. This isn't really that hard to connect the dots on. You can be as mad as you want to be, but A, there's no way Michael Crow would want somebody bigger than him getting all the attention that Deion is getting. Not a chance. Even if the stadium were filled, he would not want it. This guy, this president, cares about this president. That's it. Sports is down here. Nobody can deny that. And if they do, they're on the payroll. That's it. Points and pension. So Deion wouldn't come here. Secondly, I don't think Deion's going to stay in Colorado for more than a year or two. I really don't. You know, Texas A&M, they're already circling the drain around Jimbo Fisher. Look at Florida, what's going on with Billy Napier. There's some jobs in bigger conferences. You know, I'll even throw the NFL in there. Dion wins on the college level. What's to say that he doesn't look around and say, you know, I think I could do the NFL thing. Or I know I could do the NFL thing. How would Dion play in Dallas if finally there was a coaching change made there? How would Dion play in Arizona if Jonathan Gannon doesn't work out? If you're thinking that's harsh, I don't know. How long did Steve Wilks last? How long do Cardinal coaches typically last? 2 to 3 years. That's how it goes. So, you know, the Dion story is fabulous right now for us. I think for fans, it's fun. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, I will be watching Colorado State, Colorado. Yeah, I'll have the ASU game on, I'll have the Arizona game on. I'll be one of those guys locked in here with monitors everywhere, with making notes, enjoying everything. But, you know, Colorado, Colorado State's great. And add to that, Jay Norvell, the head coach at Colorado State, who was here at ASU, said, I'm paraphrasing, on his coach's show, that his mother taught him that when you talk to somebody, you take off your sunglasses and remove your hat. And so he fired a shot at Dion, fired a shot at Colorado, may have woke them up. And so it's good drama. It's good theater. We like that. On an otherwise very slow week of games. I might want to point out to you SEC fans that your conference stinks right now, and the Pac-12 will start eating one another. Right now, the Pac-12 has a terrific conference record. They have a terrific non-conference record. They have a terrific record overall. They're having a fabulous season because, of course, they're the Pac-12. They're gagging in their final year of national attention on one front because everybody knows they're dissolving. On the other side, it's like, oh, you got the Heisman Trophy candidate over here. You got Deion Sanders doing his thing over here. You know, Washington's really interesting. Oregon's really interesting. Stanford and Cal in their final year, they're going to go over to the ACC. They're not very interesting. What's going on down in Arizona? Those two schools, one looks like it's going the right direction. The other's still waiting for the other shoe to drop in the NCAA. There's just a lot going on. A lot going on. All right. Off the college wing, I want to get to one more thing here in the open, and that's Adam Silver. For years now, I've been sitting here pointing out and feeling bad for you, the fan that goes and pays your hard-earned money to go down to watch an NBA game. And once you get to the NBA game, you find out that so-and-so is not playing. So-and-so has load management or is being rested or whatever injury can be put together so that that player gets the night off. And it's been a problem. And we know it's been a problem. And the league is kind of like, oh, well, you know, we're looking into it. And then you see teams, like, there's not a chance unless things change, and they changed yesterday. Not a chance that you're going to be able to count on seeing your favorite players when you buy your ticket to a game, or it's the end of the season and they're just resting. Like the Suns last year, they had a game against Denver I went to, and they didn't play anybody. Denver didn't play anybody. Denver didn't even bring their players down. So you're paying full freight, you the fan. And I just think that's deplorable. It's just not the way to do business. If I sit here and give a half-ass effort and you take the time to watch what I'm doing, shame on me. These owners, they already have your money and you're coming to the game. You're bringing your kid. You're bringing your wife. You're bringing your buddies. And so-and-so is out because of load management. That's on you? Doesn't make sense. So now teams will be fined for resting players. You can't tell me that owners aren't going to sit up in their office and say, you know, let's put some money aside for a fine jar because we're going to get fined this year because winning titles is more important than worrying about a fine. Sitting down star players for extended stretches or they're not going to play two or three or four games. Well, so-and-so has a flare-up of a hamstring and the team doctor is like, yeah, he's got to rest tonight. And the NBA is going to say, well, we're on ESPN, because that's another thing that they're obviously their broadcast partners are not happy about. This came up yesterday. Their broadcast partners, they don't want to tease a game where coming up next, the Suns minus Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Kevin Durant will be taking on the Warriors minus Steph Curry minus Klay Thompson. Stay tuned. That's what's going on. And so, but you're going to see teams try to figure out a way to get around the rules. And ultimately, it's on you. If you're going to buy the ticket, it's buyer beware, man. Like, the good thing about the NFL is they, when you go to the game, the star players are there during the season. That's the ripoff of August. Why I hate August so much of pro football. It's just a total ripoff. And I don't know why people don't see it. Some people do. Some people get it. I appreciate that. The others that try to justify it, it's like, well, okay, whatever. You're on the payroll. But here in the NBA, you know, they're playing year round too. So there's got to be some give and take. The Olympics are coming up next summer. They're going to get ramped up to go play. LeBron reportedly wants to play. Booker wants to play. All these guys are going to want to play. So their summer of rest is going to be out the door. They're playing this summer in the World Championships. USA didn't win it. And so there's load management concerns there. That's why they've shortened the preseason. They're trying to make the regular season more important with this in-season tournament. And you just look at it and say, at the end of the day, maybe you need to shorten your regular season. It's because it's going to happen in all sports. It's going to happen where in the NBA, the NFL, and even, I believe, in college, where you're going to have players that are saying, I'm just getting ready for the NBA. I'm here for a one-year stopover, and that's it. It was really interesting to hear both commissioners yesterday try to explain themselves away. I like Adam Silver. Goodell's just he runs the most popular league, but the way that he goes about his business is, to me, bullying at times. So that's what he does. All right. Take a break. On the other side, Barry Bloom, and then Bleacher Talk. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Barry Bloom is with us with Sportico. If you've not checked out Sportico, it is great content, the business side of sports. Barry, of course, covers all sports, it feels like, from a number of different angles. He can write eloquently about the Diamondbacks gagging one away last night or where they're going to be in 2 weeks. He's at a diner in New York. What diner are you at right now? I'm just curious.
The Tibbetts Diner in the Bronx.
Yeah? What is their
old-style diner that's been here forever.
What is their specialty? What does Barry Bloom get at this diner? Oh, wow. That looks pretty good. That's pretty good. That looks healthy almost, Barry. Come on. That's almost
well. I passed on the home fries. Yeah.
Well, look, I don't want your stuff to go cold. So let's just bang this out and go right through it. Are you surprised that the Diamondbacks are sitting where they are here in mid-September? Meaning, back in February, you and I are sitting at Salt River Fields chopping it up, and you'd say, Brad, they're going to be tied for the wild card with four other teams to find a wild card spot. Would you believe me? Would I have believed you?
I mean, considering also what's transpired during the season, I mean, you know, we basically, there are three numbers. You know, Madison Bumgarner was 0-4. Fott is 1-8. And then their bullpen blew 26 saves. So with all that, they're still there. But now they're at crunch time where, you know, I think because 87 was the last qualifier for the playoffs last year, I'm using 87. Some people say 85 wins will do it. They have 15 games to go. They, at this point, need to win 9 to 11 games, or they're not going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's really quite a crunch at this point. And with the starting pitching the way it is, I just don't really see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a real downer for a Diamondback fan. The Zach Gallen starts are just victories. The Merrill Kelly starts at this point have to be victories, right?
And that's not going to happen every time around. Yeah. And then you get to the last three spots in the rotation, and you're pretty much toast.
Barry Bloom with us from New York. Diamondbacks and Mets are wrapping things up. The relationship, Barry, from your view of Hazen, Lovello, I'll throw Derek in there, Derek Hall on top of it all. Ken Kendrick's been very patient. I saw Ken about 3 weeks ago up in Aspen. We spent a couple hours together visiting on things. And I'm kind of amazed this threesome is still together and working together because of all the tough times. They've been patient. How about you? What do you see out of this relationship?
You know, I think they've done well. I think, you know, Torrey has done a great job with what Mike has given him. I think Mike admits that some of the trades he made and signings were not good. You know, they've wasted their limited resources on some people like Bumgarner when they didn't have it. But then again, you know, he pulled out the Gurriel Moreno trade last winter, and that's worked out really well for them. So, I mean, they, you know, you can go plus minus on any deal a general manager makes. And I think they certainly love Torrey. And what's not to love? He's a decent manager with great people skills. And top down in the organization, I think they think he's the most compatible manager they've ever had. So now you go into next season, and I think both Mike and Torrey are on one-year contracts. This is the end of Mike's contract. Yeah, Torrey has one more year. You know, certainly the team has been competitive enough this year, and there's been a nice little uptick in attendance at Chase Fields. So there's no reason, I think, to change gear right now. Just build on what you've already done, because that's where you are right now, building through, you know, a bit, good farm system with the guys like Carroll and McCarthy and Thomas, and, you know, you fight and you keep building it up and bringing people up. Yeah. And they've rebuilt the bullpen pretty well on the fly this season too, where if they had this bullpen the first half of the season, they'd probably be right in the hunt still with the Dodgers. So, I mean, things are trending, I think, in a positive direction for them. So I think I'm fine with that whole, the whole triumvirate going forward. And certainly as they're trying to decide in the immediate future what they're going to do about Chase Field.
Yeah, and I'll get to that here. Barry Bloom with a Sportico. He's at a diner in New York City. He's got great food. I don't want it to go cold. He's dropping knowledge. As always, I appreciate his insights. Okay, the stadium. Derek was quoted earlier this week in The Athletic. I think I know you've done stuff on the stadium about the end of this year. They have to know where they're going. What do you see about that story and where it is now that you can share?
Well, I think they're still looking around. I think generally it's downtown. You know, their choice is, you know, do you spend $500 million to $1 billion renovating Chase Field and trying to take it down a little so it's 10,000 seats less, or do you start over and spend $1 billion somewhere else? And you're not going anywhere outside of downtown. You know, they have a mechanism where, you know, they can use user fees at the ballpark to borrow money to pay for the rebuild or a new stadium, and that you can do it in that district. Whether that district applies to anywhere else downtown right now is a matter of opinion, and that's part of the process of what they're figuring out. So, you know, I think that, you know, they have behind the scenes done a lot of work and they have an idea of what they're going to do. I don't think they've made a complete decision yet. And, you know, really Derek keeps punting the ball down the road a little bit.
Yep.
You know, basically he said in the spring that you know, they needed an answer on this sometime midseason. Now he's saying the end of the year, you know, they're in there till 2027. They have a lease there till 2027. They can go elsewhere if they can get the stadium built sooner. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. So it's 2023, 2024 coming up, and you know they're going to have to start building somewhere or renovating soon. But it's not something that's completely pressing. They do have till 2027.
Yeah, I'm still of the opinion that they're going to end up in the Southeast Valley. At the 101, 202, the opposite Sloan Park and the big hole in the ground. I just feel like in the indications I'm getting are that the reservation is going to be working with them and that there's going to be an option over there. Are you ruling that out entirely on your end?
I'm ruling it out because the Diamondbacks have to control their land and their ballpark, much like the Coyotes have to do the same thing to make it actually operate. And if you bring any of the tribes in and they put tribal money into it, they're going to want to control it like they control Salt River Fields. Salt River Fields, you know, is $100 million, you know, project when it was built 10 years ago. This is going to be a $1 billion project. And I just don't think there's any private equity or any other money out there that's going to help the Diamondbacks do this. And there's certainly not going to be any public money. You know, as you saw with the Coyotes,
yep.
You know, you can cast that into a a taxpayer giveaway when it really wasn't, but you can cast any sort of project like this into one like that. And if it has to go on the ballot for any reason at all, it's probably not going to pass.
Right.
So, yeah, I counted out. I think they're going to have to do something within their district downtown.
Interesting. I'll let you get back to breakfast. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark when you get back. Thanks for the time.
Anytime, Brett. Glad to see you.
You as well. There's Barry Bloom with Sportico. Check out all of his content at sportico.com. Barry Bloom, you can follow him on social media. And we're back with more after this time out.